fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news with my sidekick, Danny Dugan.
Here I am, the other guy on the other side on WGRN. This is what community sounds like, and we will be doing an interview today.
Indeed, with Torin Jacobs, and one of us is funny, like Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, I get that.
We'll let the listeners decide by the end of the show.
Laurel was definitely the funny guy.
Indeed.
That's me.
But Torin Jacobs, our straight man for today. Torin is running in the House, is it the 18th District, Torin?
That's right, Bob, 18th District State Representative. So we got downtown, we got Grandview, Clintonville, Bexley, Campus, Drummond Village, Italian Village, a whole bunch of neighborhoods lumped in there.
That sounds like a pretty progressive kind of People's Republic of Columbus area there.
Or a bastion for the Democrats. So we're hoping that we can convince people that we're the proper way to go.
And again, you're running with the Green Party, and you're running as a write-in.
That's correct. Two obstacles.
What do people have to do?
Well, people have to write me in because I filed as a write-in. And so people are going to have to go to the polling booth and then call for a green ballot. And then once they get there, they can write my name in. So they're going to have to spell that out, T-O-R-I-N-J-A-C-O-B-S, Torin Jacobs. And then once they do that, I mean, they've just made history because I only need 25 primary votes, and I'm on the ballot for November 18th. So if you're one of the lucky and brave 25 people in the city, I mean, God bless you.
I hope you take plus one.
That's
excellent.
Precisely.
And my understanding is your Democratic opponent is running as a write-in as well.
Yes. So we don't know what's going to happen with that, but apparently
Ms. Boggs?
Yeah.
Okay. Ignore that. Ms. Whoever.
Yes.
But why are you running? That's always the key question. Why is Torin Jacobs running for the 18th District, Ohio House?
Well, as a social studies teacher, I've always been really into politics, political junkie kind of nerd. And I talk about this stuff all the time with my students. And just looking at the decrepit state of American politics today, it's like, if we have this particular person as president, why can't I run?
Are you talking about the president being decrepit or the system being decrepit?
Well, I think both qualify, Bob. it's just like if this guy can run for office, I don't have tons of billions of dollars, but I've been active in my communities, for a very long time. I mean, I'm 29 years old, but, since college, I've been into activism and social justice and all that kind of stuff. And not just that, just working with people and getting problems solved and working with the youth and giving them encouragement and power. And letting them know that they have a voice. And so that's what I've been doing since I've started teaching. And even before then, when I was a volunteer, working in different education programs, inspiring kids to take on the system and to let them know that what they don't have to wait to be adults to do something. They can do something now. And you've kind of seen that with the gun control movement happening with the March for Our Lives.
Any thoughts there, Mr. Dugan? Do you want kids taking on the system?
My only thought was I prefer we call it something that doesn't say gun control, but that's just one guy's opinion. Gun legislation, safe gun legislation, I don't know, but you know how people react.
There's a joke from there's a favorite rap song is like, gun control is holding it with both hands in my land.
Go.
So it's
that.
So yeah, we probably need a better term.
There's also the meme going around that,
I lived in this neighborhood.
Right? If you say you want traffic control, it doesn't mean you want to ban cars. You just like an occasional stoplight, for example. Say a man's completely unbalanced and mentally ill. Do you really want him to be wandering around with guns or his dad giving the guns back? Hi, you're completely out of control. You think Taylor Swift's stalking you and you're going to the White House looking for the president. Here, have seven guns.
Well, that's the problem in this country. People just put things to the polar opposite. The opposition just takes things to the absolute extreme. So when we talk about, hey, we should have some more gun laws, it's, oh my God, Obama's coming to take your guns.
Right.
And that's been the conversation. Right. It's been 8 years, Obama didn't take your guns. Meanwhile, who made the most money? The gun manufacturers. And now they're losing money because Obama's gone. Who else is there to blame? But, you know, when we talk about having new gun rules, like I said, it's not about ending the Second Amendment and taking guns away. I shoot guns, too, from time to time. And, you know, they have the necessary purpose. Like you said, we don't give the keys to a toddler to drive an F-150. It makes sense. Why would you give an assault-style weapon? Why would you give a handgun, any type of gun, to somebody who expresses they want to kill people, who tried to storm the White House with this last guy who got his guns? I mean, this guy, I don't understand how he goes in and out of prison. You know, he tries to go into the White House, Secret Service arrests him. He makes these violent threats, goes to a pool, exposes himself. When he commits the mass shooting, he's naked but has a jacket on. I mean, this guy had just a crazy amount of crazy record of being unstable, and yet they do take the guns away. But then his dad...
Signs, bells,
and the really sad part, I think, is he'll probably end up Republican Secretary of State someday.
Why not?
You never know.
So is gun control...
It's happened to worse people.
Gun control a key part of your campaign?
I would say so. I mean, I think we definitely have to have universal background checks. I mean, that's number one. We can start there. You know, like I said, certain people shouldn't be...
Should you sell them on Craigslist without a background check?
No, Bob, I think that's also a bad idea. And
what about the Walmart parking lot? Should I just be able to roll up and sell it's my personal weapon?
Well, you might get shot at Walmart, as John Crawford did down in Dayton. So you walk in there with a fake gun, you still get shot. So this is the problem with gun control, too. It's not equally enforced. You know, it's open carry state, but then you walk inside Walmart with a toy airsoft gun.
Yeah, but he was black, so...
Yes. And so... Yeah, we have to look at this from the ground up. The laws aren't equally enforced, and that's really what I want to fix. So, yeah, it's definitely on the top of the list. And it's just like Americans have this big fear of, if I go to the movies, I could get shot. If I go to this concert, I could get shot.
Right.
And so we just have this just growing fear of, it's just someone who's out of their mind or just having a bad day could go out and take it out on the public, and that's not right.
Well, you know, Bob also said that he something about 7 guns, right? And I actually heard this statistic, and so being a white male, I feel safe, that there are 8 guns for every white male in our society. So, I don't know, Bob, how many do you have? 4, 5, 6, 7,
well, you mostly, I've got a couple pistols.
I don't have any. Yes.
All right, the education. I mean, you're an educator. Is education a key part of your campaign? After all, right, we have an unconstitutional system here in Ohio, and it's been unconstitutional for a long time, since the Daroff decision.
Yeah, the state property tax thing has to go. We have to find a better way to fund our schools. And, we've been siphoning off so much tax revenue from these big businesses. That could be one answer to getting money back into our public schools. And also legalizing marijuana could be another revenue stream.
Was it a good idea to give a $15 million tax break to Ron Pizzuti for developing Easton?
No, it was a terrible idea. Same thing with, Jeff Bezos wants to, put his fortress here somewhere in the state of Ohio. Maybe. We don't know. But yeah, you read these stories about this guy has $75 billion personal wealth, assets, all this stuff, and then his workers are still on food stamps. It doesn't make any sense. Tax this guy and send it to the schools. And so that's where I stand on that.
All right.
But also, too, the standardized testing, once again, is out of control. And, when I worked for Columbus City Schools, I was just overwhelmed by the amount of data we had to collect and getting the kids prepped for the tests and all the punitive measures against the kids if they didn't pass it and all this kind of stuff. So it's the OGT, and then it holds a bunch of kids, Ohio graduation test when I was in school.
But you got to admit, that approach, I mean, when they go into the workplace every Friday, the boss is going to get out a pencil and a standardized Scantron and test them, isn't he?
Well, now it's a computer. It's all computer-based now with the air test. So, yes, they're going to whip out that mini laptop and have the kid take that four-hour test right there. But, yeah, like I said, the kids hate this stuff, and I watch it every day, and they don't want to come to school. The teachers hate it. It disrupts our learning process. And the whole thing is that we tie all these different – how do you want to say it? Help me out.
Data analytical testing results?
Well, I'll say rewards and punishments. That's what I'm looking for. So we attach all these rewards and punishments to these tests. And so teachers feel, we're forced to give these kids these tests. And you just hear them complain all day. Like I said, it disrupts our planning. And it disrupts lessons. And throws our whole teaching schedule off.
And then are the charter schools required to take those tests too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I do work for a charter school right now. It's a dropout recovery school. So all the kids who've dropped out of school, traditional school, we've picked them up. So if you have kids who've been incarcerated.
So they have to take them to other charter schools as well?
I can't speak for other ones, but I know that we do.
Okay.
So, yes, we have to take our interview, our OGTs. Our kids got to take our OGTs. They got to pass them. And our kids have to take the air test, the newer end-of-year course exams. And we also have MAP, which is really tied to our report card as well. So, like I said, we have to test all these kids and all these different measurements. And, you have some of our kids who, I got a kid now who just didn't go to school for 2 years. If you don't go to school for 2 years, are you really going to do well on a standardized test?
Right.
And then it reflects on us. And then the state wants to come after us because we score poorly on the report card, not doing our job.
But again, your key point is, does the standardized test really reflect what people know? There's all sorts of different ways to know what people can do. One is portfolio-based, is that you could actually have them do reports, create stuff on the computer, do video production.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I like to do now with my kids is do more project-based stuff. And, right now our school is focusing on tying all this stuff into the career. But once again, you have these exams that instead of being on pencil and paper, now they're on the computer, but it's still right back to OGT and these old exams, to the old stuff they were doing before. So, times are changing. Kids need more career-oriented learning.
Yeah.
And these tests are holding them back.
Well, we're talking to Torin Jacobs, writing candidate for Ohio's 18th House District. He's writing as a write-in. He needs 25 votes to get on the ballot. He's running with the Green Party, so you'll have to pull a green ballot. Torin Jacobs. Other thoughts on education. If we were in Europe, right, they have these centralized core curriculums.
Oh my God.
Is that all of them would be forced to learn two other languages. Should American students at an early age be forced to learn at least one other language?
Absolutely, because we're a global society. This whole idea of
not Spanish.
Yeah, that's Spanish too.
But aren't they invading our country?
That'd be too much of a natural idea.
I heard they're taking all the jobs too. I don't know, Bob. But no, we're a globalized society. It just doesn't make sense for us to feel like we need to be this isolationist country. Everything that we buy, that we use, is from some other place. And so to act like that we can do this all by ourselves is ridiculous. And so, Columbus City Schools, Columbus in general, has a large Hispanic or Latino population. And it's beneficial to learn Spanish. Somali, too. We have a huge Somali population. I think everybody should learn Somali as well. Not, of course, American students here. Learn about different cultures. When I was in high school, I used to watch riots happen at Lyndon McKinley between the students and the Somalian students.
Oh, yeah, there were some famous clashes involving dozens and dozens of students there, Somali versus essentially American African American students.
Yeah, absolutely. So I watched that happen, and it's just like I play a lot of blame goes on the officials. You just dump a bunch of kids in here, don't educate anybody on culture. There's no cultural exchange. And then you have all this tension rise up. And I think this kind of leads us to this rise of hate crimes that has happened since Trump has been elected. It's just a mountain of ignorance. And so if people were educated on each other, they wouldn't feel this hostility. And so, as someone who's worked in school for so long, I have students from all different types of backgrounds. You learn so much when you embrace somebody different than yourself. It improves you as a person. And so I learned so much about the world and about myself just interacting with people from different places. And I did my student teaching in Ghana. So I was in the west coast of Ghana, and our school had no electricity. It was just a concrete building. And I can tell you, man, you learn so much from being in a different space, learning a different language, all this kind of stuff. And I'm a better person from it. And I think every American benefits from cultural exchange. There's this whole thing going on right now with the zero-sum game. If this culture is doing better, then I have to do worse. And that's just a myth. It's not true at all. All of us can rise. And he will rise.
There you go.
And we're talking to Torin Jacobs, running in the 18th House District in Ohio, the Ohio State House of Green. He's a write-in candidate, so you got to pull the green ballot and write him in. He needs 25 votes. If you like what you hear here on WGRN, the Green Renaissance, remember the name Torin Jacobs.
That's we've got right. at least 25 listeners out there, I think, Bob. So, hey, come on out and support Mr. Jacobs, because I like what I hear. I don't know about the rest.
Torin, thanks for being on the other side of the news.
There you go.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
And we'll have him back for some discussion later, hopefully after he gets written in on the ballot. Mr. Dugan, what else is going on during the second half of the show?
There's this nefarious character named Pompeo.
Not to be mistaken for Torin Jacobs. And I remember you on the deck of a large ship yelling, Torin, Torin, Torin.
Sure. Right. Okay. That was me. Aye, aye, Captain. The ship's going down. We'll hand the reins over the steering.
But we've got a pilot now.
Come on, let's talk
we
about
have
Pompeo.
A pirate as Secretary
Pompeo
of State?
Was, yes, he
the
was.
The spy master.
The spy master is now Secretary of State. And I guess, you know, he might do no worse than his predecessor. What was his name? Tillerson or something like that?
I like Tillerson.
I didn't mind him.
Yeah, he was right in his assessment.
I really didn't.
The famous assessment with the F-bomb.
For a guy that was also very close with the Russians when he had
Donald
that
Trump.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he was an oil guy.
It wasn't as bad
as
we thought.
But he didn't repudiate climate change.
Well, no, right? He's no Pruitt. Yeah.
Yeah, he was within sort of the realm of reality. He was fat base, even
back
if you didn't agree with him. He actually, you know, he had different analysis of the facts, but you could actually count on his facts
right.
being not made up.
Right. I know what you're saying. You sort of knew where he was coming from.
Yeah, he's a
Pompeo
corporate oil
going
and gas
to be
guy.
Cloak and dagger and not say things.
But
correct.
He wouldn't
Isn't that
say, yeah.
What we expect from a guy who's a spy, right?
Well, it seems like he survived. Anyone who survived at this point seems to be, you know, a puppet for Donald Trump.
Right.
You don't last long if you have your
own
personality
right.
and
absolutely.
Identity and ideas.
And you
absolutely
don't kiss
correct.
The hem of the garment.
Or kiss the ring.
Pass the toupee.
Is Donald Trump the godfather?
Pretty much so. Although he's only our godfather. He's not the primary godfather, who I think we've already established was his boyfriend Putin. Vladimir Putin is the primary godfather. And they are lovers. We
you're
know
right,
this
you're right. He
fact.
May be just a capo.
We've proven this fact. We've got the pictures
Putin
on the horseback.
May be the godfather and
of everyone.
And he's just a capo, a captain, kind of.
Right.
In the mob.
There you go. He's along for the ride. All right.
So but, it's Putin who gets to say, so, you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding. Showing me no respect.
No respect. That's right. So what do we expect out of these coming, say, North Korean negotiations for our Secretary of State?
I don't know.
Anything?
He met with them secretly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping.
Oh, he's calling you right now.
It's the Secretary of
sure,
State.
Sure, absolutely. It's the Secretary of State. Is Bob Petraeus there? All right, so that's Pompeo. But I don't know that much about him. I don't think anyone really does, right? Or do we?
No, but he seems like I would feel better about him if he wore a pompadour.
A Pompeo pompadour?
Yes.
That's nice.
Because you got the Trump, you know.
Mm-hmm. Things Trump-y are so
bear.
Trumpian now. And when you brought up that word reality, I just jump at that. Because that's what it's like watching this crazy reality show that
is
taking over
here's my party,
the administration of our country.
I mean, Kim Jong-un has kind of stopped the testing.
Yes.
He has nukes,
yes.
But now it's like he has to
and
get rid of them.
And said he's okay to
yeah,
not
right.
be. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just happy he's not shooting missiles. And I don't know how you stop an individual from, you know, possessing nukes. I mean, there's treaties out there. But look, if I was Kim Jong-un, I'd give me some nukes because...
Yeah, if I was any other country,
yeah,
I'd get
if
me.
I,
yeah.
If I saw I right. saw what
I'd
happened to Saddam
some nukes.
Hussein,
like
right? Saddam Hussein did not have nukes. If he had nukes, he'd still be in power.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't like the way that works. But
I want the whole world to be denuclearized.
I agree.
Including the United States.
We got a long way to go on those kind of things. But yes, I did hear that the North Korean.
I like to be like the Chinese. Chinese only got about 300 nuclear warheads.
What do we have to fear from them? We got a thousand.
Our tariffs
will put a stop to that nonsense.
Right. I mean, because after you do the 50 major cities, there's really not much left to bomb.
Mm. Oh, really? That's right. 50 major cities. You mean here?
Yeah, in the United States.
Where's Columbus on that? 15, 16, something?
Yeah, we're in terms of size, metro area, maybe the mid-20s.
Between the talk about guns when we had Torrin in here, and now we're discussing nuclear. It just gets more and more insecure every day. But if you keep your sense of humor, folks, I'm told that you can survive in this society. And try to keep your job,
If you accentuate the positive.
That's right.
And stay away from pool halls.
What do we find positive?
Danny Dugan, you're the kind of man that would stay away from a pool hall.
I'm not much of a pool player, although we played foosball in NERC back in the 70s. I was pretty good at the goalie position. So there you go. Let's go play some foos, man. We're going to talk, let's get a little bit positive. Let's be positive about how things are going for Dr. Jackson. He's hit a bit of a roadblock, correct?
Yes, Admiral Jackson.
Finally. Yes, Admiral.
Hey, and you know the saying, you've been around rock and roll, the candy man or Dr. Feel Good.
Yeah.
He was accused of being Dr. Feel Good.
Right, he was, yes. So, now this is the Jackson that Trump was going to appoint to something.
Veterans Administration.
I knew it was a veteran something. So there we go.
See, every time we mention one and of these guys, they call us.
the phone lines are lighting up. It's Veterans Administration.
Dr. Jackson.
So he
was no Percocet.
Turned down. He was turned down, right? Okay.
He was. Yeah. He withdrew.
You know, if we want to talk about that, we could talk about this Prince thing with the Percocet. And what is it? Where did he get the Percocet that supposedly had the fentanyl in it? That's right. That's another conversation.
Like, who in the hell makes fake? It was like a Vicodin.
His family needs more money.
So. It was even more innocuous.
Sorry,
like
we went there.
A Vicodin.
Couldn't help it.
Somebody's out there manufacturing fake Vicodin with fentanyl or fake Percocet. You think you're taking a pharmaceutical.
Prince never did
and
drugs.
And suddenly you're heading off to Michael Jackson, right. the Neverland.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so Trump did at least see a stop sign in one of his appointments. I guess that's good news. I'm not 100% sure. But in the meantime, everyone else is trying to get this Pruitt fellow away from the EPA, right?
Well, because
there are many reasons.
Because he's gutting the environmental
protection
agency.
But that's not why they would
turning
remove it
into the old right? joke. Every polluter's advocate, EPA.
There you go. Yeah, but that's not how he would. That's not why he would be removed. That would be the reason why
he would be moved because he appears to be corrupt. Right? His below market rates. Hey, how much for that luxury condo? Ooh, $50 a day, and only pay when you're there. Who gets those kind of deals?
And it's an environmentally sound condo.
It is absolutely. And it's a lobbyist for the pollution industry. So owns it.
I guess.
Hi, I'm a lobbyist for the pollution people. How'd you like to stay at my luxury condo for $50 a night?
Why not? I'd take him up on it. I guess Pruitt is against the lead. He's speaking out against lead abatement. He's speaking in favor of lead abatements. He's speaking about lead being a danger. This is like what someone was trying to defend him to say that he was trying
but,
to.
But the bait and switch
turn
in terms
the corner on
of he's not doing much with other toxic and carcinogenic material. He's allowing a lot of that science that says this will cause cancer in one in every 10,000 males of 180 pounds. He doesn't like that type of science.
Oh yeah, that kind of science.
You mean the ones done by the scientists.
Right.
The ones done by the toxicologist.
Percentiles and
yes, percentages.
Why would they go? Yeah, those eggheads. Right, a bunch of Adlai Stevensons.
In their ivory tower.
Right, so he was trying to put a stop to that. So, but meanwhile, Pruitt is still there.
He's still there, and he's apparently still corrupt.
Unfortunately. So that continues. And in the meantime, this Ms. Daniels, this Stormy thing, that continues to pull Trump administration along. And anything new in that? Did you think? Actually, I was thinking of the song that, what was it? It's Stormy. Oh, Stormy. I'm trying, you know, or something like that, right? Yes.
I was thinking, like, who did the version of Stormy Weather? One of the old...
There are lots of Stormy Weather, well, Ella and Billy, right. And you can go on and on with the Stormy
the
Weather.
The pantheon.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, Stormy, yes. But in the meantime, we continue to see that even though there's obstruction of justice, there's collusion, there's all this stuff with the Russians, it may still be, if Trump is impeached and or removed, at a later time, it would be because of a one-night tryst with a hooker, right? Is that right. Where we're going, do you think?
It appears, but it's not that. It's the past, right? If they raid Cohen's office, you know,
I'm sorry,
however
she was a porn star, not a hooker.
Right,
My bad.
It's right. Glad you corrected that.
Yes.
Not to be mistaken for the Playboy Bunny.
Right. Yeah.
Now, in this scenario, as we think about this, you know, what was in Cohen's office? They say he liked to record stuff.
That's why someone said, why does it matter if he flips? Because don't they have pretty much all the information they're going to need on Cohen to find out?
Right.
Find out about Mr. Trump.
And, you know, he's going to invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Mm.
But at this point, if they've got all the evidence.
That's exactly. Yeah.
It's like, I don't need your you to flip on Trump because you put it on tape, you put it on video, you left it in your office for us to grab.
Yeah, so I guess taken with that, then he might as well, as they say, flip. But the whole thing
flips me out. If I was him, I'd be like Flippo the Clown,
I'll
man.
Flip
I would
them
be flipping.
Off. That's right, we'll be Flippo. We'll be flipping right, we'd be flipping mostly left. Because we're the other side of the news. And I tell you what, it just gets more and more exciting every day. I can't wait till tomorrow because the Cavs are playing tomorrow night. Whoops.
Oh, that's right. And what are you thinking about doing?
I think about going to Indianapolis with our good buddy Gary Richards, who sells ads for the Columbus Free Press.
Oh, that's right. Gary Richards of...
Uh-huh.
Wasn't he with CD 101 a long, long time
ago? That was a modern rock station. Yes.
Modern rock.
Speaking of radio, you know, while...
Now, was your bar alternative in the last... I always
said it was alternative because we didn't have bands who were wildly popular except once in a blue
moon. Were you anti-AOL? Were you anti that whole AOL movement?
So you're going to dig at me. What I was going to tell you was, on WGRN soon, I'll have a radio show. My co-host was in here when Turin was talking about these tests, and she was dying to say something there. So I was just going to plug
that. We should have let her say it.
It'll be called Cartoons. We haven't established the time yet, but it's coming.
What was on her mind?
Speaking of modern rock, etc. Well, I don't think she cared for the test that Mr. Jacobs was discussing. She was kind of like, oi, and
does she know a lot about music?
Music, she knows quite a bit because her father is Bela Kokrompecher, who worked at Used Kids Records, and who also promoted a ton of shows in my nightclub. Some of them actually made money.
Oh, cool. So.
And we had good times doing that. So maybe sometime down the road she interviews him or her mother, who's involved with the arts.
I hope she likes Nico, because I like Nico.
And
it looks like we got a wrap-up.
You're better. Your Nico is waving her hands. So we're done with the other side of the news. Thanks, Mr. J.
Peace out.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.